Pope Pius XI, in the encyclical letter Ubi Arcano Dei, writes, quote, "For no human institution exists which can impose upon the nations an international code adapted to the present time, similar to the one which, in the Middle Ages, ruled that society of nations which was known as Christendom. Injustices may have been frequently committed therein, nevertheless, the sanctity of the law remained undisputed, a safe standard by which the nations themselves might be judged. But there is a divine institution which can guarantee the sanctity of the law of nations, an institution which, embracing all nations and transcending them, is endowed with supreme authority and evokes veneration through its plenary powers of rule, the Church of Christ. Thanks to its divine mission, to its nature, to its constitution, and the prestige which time has conferred upon it, it alone has shown itself equal to so great a task, and, far from succumbing to the onslaughts of war, it has emerged with vigor marvelously increased. It is necessary, therefore, that human society be rightly organized in order that the Church, following its divine mission, may be in a position to defend the rights of God towards men, individually as well as collectively. This is what we have briefly expressed as the reign of Christ." End of quote. All Catholics should realize that there are not two worlds, but one only, in which we must accept God's plan for ordered life, or else wander in aimless disorder. The granting of credit in a state must not be the monopoly of a few, whose relations with international financiers are unknown and uncontrolled. From GK's Weekly, March 9, 1933, quote, "There is no reason why the control of credit should be in the hands of a few anonymous groups for their own profit. There is an urgent necessity for banking to be sharply differentiated by its various functions. The provision of safe deposit, the accumulation of savings, the supply of credit, small and large, the assistance of commercial operations, the guidance of investment, and the conduct of international transactions. It would at once be seen that some of these functions could be discharged by local groups, others by vocational associations, others again by the state or by international bodies. For the old system has now been proved to be a tyranny of plutocrats, divorced entirely from the needs and interests of the people." End of quote. Personal and social functions of private property. Every human being is bound to lead a good life. Since the special form of man is rational, there is a natural inclination in every man to act according to reason. This means acting virtuously. Now, two things are necessary for a good life. The chief requisite is virtue, and the primary common good of a nation consists in the virtuous life of its citizens. The other requisite for a good life is secondary and quasi-instrumental in character, namely, a sufficiency of material goods, the use of which is necessary for the exercise of virtue and the fulfillment of the moral obligations incumbent on a person. In other words, in order that the average man may be able to lead a virtuous life without being obliged to be heroic, the needs of the body must be provided for in suitable fashion. Accordingly, as things that are without reason are for man's use and benefit, and man cannot attain perfection without the aid of these things, every man has a natural right to that sufficiency of material goods which will enable him to live his life in conformity with his nature. To this right corresponds on the part of man the duty of labor. This duty is peculiar to man, for he is lacking in that natural equipment of clothing and protection from the inclemency of the weather enjoyed by the animals. If, however, health or the weakness of childhood render labor impossible, the prior right to the above-mentioned sufficiency of material goods does not cease to exist. Moreover, man is destined by nature to live in the society of his fellow men. Accordingly, the organization of society must aim at enabling men to live their lives in a manner befitting creatures of God and human persons. It is therefore the office and duty of the political authority to care for the primary common good, namely virtue, intellectual and especially moral, as well as for the secondary common good, namely riches and other external goods which are required as the instruments of a virtuous life.